John chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Jesus had to travel through Samaria, and he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about 6 in the evening. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, for his disciples had gone into town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Literally, Jews do not drink from the same cup as Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would give you living water."
"Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get your living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock."
Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water here will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I give him will become a well of water springing up within him to eternal life."
"Sir," the woman said, "give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water."
Jesus said, "Right. Go call your husband and come back here."
I don't have a husband."
"You've correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said, "for you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir," the woman replied, I see you are a prophet. "Well, our fathers worshipped on this mountain over here, and you Jews say the only place to worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "Well, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us."
"I am he," Jesus told her, "the one speaking to you."
Just then Jesus' disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" And then the woman left the water jar, went into town, and told the men, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" Well, they left the town and made their way to him. I'm going to jump down to verse 39. "Now many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of what the woman said when she testified, 'He told me everything I ever did.' Therefore, when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this really is the Savior of the world.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Jesus comes to us with more than we can imagine. And his purpose for us is beyond us to this world. Show us who Jesus is through this passage. I ask in his name. Amen. Now, isn't it amazing that when I've got a real short message that I can give you, I'm supposed to be brief here because we got potluck, that he gives me 4 points. Any one of you who has ever doubted God's sense of humor, hopefully you don't anymore, but real quickly, first thing. In verses 7 through 14, how does Jesus start? He says to the woman, "Give me a drink." When Jesus asks something of you, It's because he wants to bless you. He wants to give you more than he ever asks of you. What did he promise the woman? Living water. Let me explain very quickly. Living water is not a Christian concept. We didn't invent it. It's a Jewish concept. Jews baptized in living water. Living water means running water. It comes into an area, it goes out of an area, like a river or a creek. In fact, there is a large body of water that has water going into it only and no water going out. Does anyone know what it's called? The Dead Sea. You think you find living water in the Dead Sea? No, you do not find living. In fact, you couldn't baptize there if you tried. Those of us who've been in it know exactly what I mean. You could never submerge in that thing. Living water is running. It's not the stale, stagnant water. But it's living. It's alive. Second, first of all, so when Jesus asks something of you, whether it's to go on mission or whether it's to witness to someone, whatever he asks of you, he intends to give you much more than you ever could give him. Second thing, Jesus talked with this woman and said, go call your husband. Do you think she was a bit uncomfortable talking about that? When Jesus makes you uncomfortable, it's because he wants to comfort you. Let me explain. The word comfort is taken from two concepts. Com, which means with, like communicate, with, and fort, fortification. He wants to be your strength. And here this woman had trusted some guy that she met who knows where. She wasn't married to him, and he was her comfort. Jesus removed that comfort and said, make me your comfort. And when, you know, Jesus, when he reveals the truth to you, it's going to get uncomfortable. Could you imagine standing before Jesus and having him know every thought, everything you've ever done, every picture you wouldn't put on Facebook, you know, the stuff you don't want them to know, he knows. You haven't hidden it. It's not covered up at all. Does that make you uncomfortable? He wants to be your comfort. He wants you to know that whatever that is, it's not his concern. He's not concerned with your past. He's concerned with your future. And he wants to be your source of strength for the future. When Jesus makes you uncomfortable, it's because he wants to comfort you and be your source of comfort, be your source of strength. Third thing, the woman was evasive. She did what every witnesser, every pastor hears. Well, have you considered Jesus? Well, you know, I was raised Methodist, and then I married this person who's a Lutheran, and we tried that out, and that didn't work out so well, and then we went over to the Baptists, and you know how crazy they are. Is that what's important? The message is Jesus. It's about him. Well, there's this mountain, and you guys have that mountain. Mountains, schmountains. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Recognize that your walk with Jesus is not tied to this place, nor to Baptists. It's tied to Jesus personally. Now, we certainly want to be a center for drawing you near to Jesus, but we want to be a center for drawing you near to Jesus. He's our focus. He's the one we want. We're a kingdom church. We're a kingdom church, and the kingdom's bigger than Baptists. The kingdom's certainly bigger than us. The kingdom's big, and we want the kingdom to grow. And when God wanted to grow his kingdom, he sent the lady with the gift of moving to various places. Why? Because that would grow his kingdom. And she's a kingdom lady. So, When Jesus asks something of you, it's because he wants to give to you more than you could ever imagine. When he makes you uncomfortable, and I promise you he will, it's because he wants to be your source of comfort. When he destroys your evasions, it's because he wants to reveal himself. He destroyed her evasions and said, I'm the Messiah you're talking about. I'm the one you've been talking about. I'm the one you've been seeking, and I'm the one who's going to explain it to you. I'm the one who's told you everything you've ever done and loves you anyway, just the way you are. But this is important. Does God love you just as you are? Absolutely. But God loves you too much to leave you there. He intends to take you from there. And where does he intend to take you? Where did he send this woman? She had a conversation with Jesus and became a missionary. What did she do? She scampered into town and told the men, this guy told me everything I've ever done. You mean, yeah, that too. You get the picture? Well, they want to check this guy out. She became a missionary. When Jesus blesses you, when he comforts you, when he reveals himself to you, he does it to reach out to a lost and dying world, to say that he is the Savior of the world. What did they confess? This is the Savior of the world. And that's your message, that's my message, that's what we're about. Communicating that Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, is Savior of the world. Why does he strengthen us? Why does he care for us? So that we can communicate him. Has God spoken to you about your need for Christ, about your need to serve him in some way?